Thank you very, very, very much. I have a tough challenge. I'm going to tell you a story which is in the forefront of what's going on presently in the field of condensed matter physics, but most of you are not working in this field. So I have a few minutes to bring you from essentially knowing very little to the frontier of what's going on. And then, on top of that, tell you what I've done. I'm not sure how to do that, and probably I will not be able to do that. But I'll try at least to tell you a part of the story. And of course, the emphasis here in this talk is very different from how I present it to my colleagues in the field. The work has been done in collaboration with Alessandro Romito, who is my longtime collaborator. I started working on this field back in, I think, 2008 or 2007. After I heard Yakir giving a talk in Trieste on weak values, which fascinated me. So thank you very much for inviting me and for letting me visit this this place. So this is the narrative. I'm going to give you a crash course on what topological excitations are, and I'll give you one example, which will be a Majorana excitations. Then I'll tell you how to measure entanglement and non-locality of such topological excitations. And the third task here is to try to show you how to weakly measure and how to implement the ideas of a weak value to this problem. But I doubt that I will reach it. So I may say at the end one or two sentences about that, but at least I will try to rush through these two tasks. So if I'm asked to tell you what quantum mechanics is all about, I know that each and every one of the participants has his or her view of what quantum mechanics is. So my view is, my telegraphic view is the following. Quantum mechanics stands on three pillars. One is a wave equation, or particle wave duality. The other is non-locality on the level of a single particle. There is a list of paradoxes, Einstein-Box paradox, the Litzur-Weidman bomb, interaction-free measurement, etc. And the third pillar is non-locality on the level of two or more particles, and manifestations of that are entanglement, topological excitations, which I'll discuss here, and the statistics of identical particles, fermions, bosons, and anions. So I'm going to zoom on this item. And over the past 10 years or so, this has been a booming field in condensed matter. And today, we have a zoo of topological excitations. And I would not spend time defining what topological excitations are, but let me nevertheless try to list a few characteristics. So these are excitations which are topologically protected against local detrimental mechanisms of decoherence. These are entities which may be very useful for quantum information processes, and these are entities which are characterized by entanglement and non-locality. So to give you a classical analog, imagine that we have two teams that play a soccer game. Now, each team is trying to protect its goal against the other team scoring a goal. And then one team comes up with a great idea. They say, I mean, we are playing here on this field, on this stadium. Let us take a replica of the same teams and the same stadium, put them 10 kilometers away, and let them play simultaneously. Now, the rule of the game is that a goal is a goal counts only if a team scores a goal, and exactly at the same time, the other team, the replica, also scores a goal. So of course, the probability that this will happen is zero, and this protects our goal, I mean, against scoring. Now, quantum protection is very much the same, as you will see, except that the two teams and the two stadia are entangled. So this is a partial zoo of our topological excitations, and what I'll zoom on today are on Majorana particles. And Majoranas have been introduced by Majorana, by Tore Majorana, back in 1937. So this directly emerges from Dirac equation. So Dirac found general complex solutions to the Dirac equation, where particle and antiparticle are two different entities. And Majorana proposed or noticed that there are also real solutions. And for the real solutions, a particle is its own antiparticle. Now, as a historical note, Majorana worked next to the big cloud, big aura of his senior, Fermi. And Fermi, on the other hand, felt that Majorana was breathing down his neck. So after the mysterious, disappearance of Majorana in 1937, at the age of 31, Fermi was nevertheless a gentleman, and this is what he wrote about Majorana. There are several categories of scientists in the world. Those of second or third rank do their best, but never get very far. Then there is the first rank, those who make important discoveries fundamental to scientific progress. But then there are the geniuses, like Galilei and Newton. Majorana was one of these. And then at the age of 31, he disappeared. So a particle, a fermion, being its own antiparticle, would mean, if we denote the Majorana by gamma, and I is an index, and then we may have many Majoranas, that gamma is equal to gamma star, and then the following anti-commutation relations are satisfied. So Majoranas have been there in high energy for ages. For example, the annihilation and collisions of a neutrino can be described in terms of six types of Majoranas, but their introduction to the arena of condensed matter physics, of quantum condensed matter, came much later. And first, it was by a consideration of the following a theoretical model that first seemed to have nothing to do with the real world, with the experiment. And this was done by Kitaev. So here we have a Hamiltonian. This is just single particle energy times the parameter mu. This is hopping, if we think about I as a site, this is a hopping of electrons from site I to site I plus one. All in all, we have n sites. And then we have a term which is Seedegger or CC. And this immediately reminds one of superconductivity. In superconductivity, we have pairing. We create two particles or annihilate two particles. But there is a big difference here. We don't have spin. So in conventional superconductors, also known as S-wave superconductors, we also have Seedegger terms, but they are on the same site, one with spin up, one with spin down. If we omit the spin index, we cannot, of course, generate two fermions on the same site, so we need to take them aside, and we assign to the indices I and I plus one, and this is called not an S-wave superconductivity, but a more exotic type, P-type superconductivity. I don't have time to explain why. So now comes the crucial point. We express the fermion operator, the Dirac fermion operator, as this superposition of Majorana Majorana particles or Majorana fermions. And trust me, if we know the commutations of the gamma, which I wrote before, the conventional commutational relations of fermions will be satisfied. Now, note that I put here for gamma both the index j, which is the site, j goes from I to n, but on each site, I put two types of Majorana, A and B. So the picture is that we have a lattice of sites, 1 to n, and we have here Majoranas type A and Majoranas type B, and we can replace this Hamiltonian by this superposition of the gammas. But there is one limit where things become very interesting, and this is the limit where the parameter mu is zero, and the parameter t and delta are equal. In this case, instead of forming this superposition, we form a superposition which we call d, and d consists of taking a Majorana type B from this site and Majorana type A of this site, taking them pairwise like that. The D's are also fermions, conventional fermions. And if you make this substitution, you can see that this Hamiltonian can be written as a simple form of the D, D dagger D, with the same index I. The only thing, the most interesting thing that happens here is that when we couple, when we pair these Majoranas to form a conventional Dirac fermions, this guy, type B on the site N and type A on the site 1, are left aside. So we can still define a fermion, D0, which consists of this guy here and this guy here, very non-local combination. The point is that this D0 does not appear in the Hamiltonian. So creating fermions, this DIs, comes with energy, with delta. But creating the fermion D0 cost us zero energy. So if you want, the spectrum is a gapped. A gapped spectrum is very important in transport. And I learned it firsthand this morning. So due to the public works outside, there are lots of roadblocks and fences, and the hotel next to us, the trajectory from the hotel to the Perimeter Institute is some winding path of, I don't know, 1.5 kilometers.
You don't know the shortcut.
Yeah, so I was working with this guy sitting here today, and he turned my attention to the fact that the fence is gapped. There is a gap in the fence, which made my transport very easy. So there is a gap. I mean, creating the Ds in general costs us energy, except these species D0. So we have a fermionic state, which if we fill the state or it is empty, the state is completely degenerate. And the state is inside the gap. And these are the so-called Majorana endpoints, because they rely on the Majorana states that appear at the end of this chain, this end and this end. So far I told you about completely fine-tuning the parameters, but actually in the parameter space there is a whole range of a continuous range of parameters where endpoint Majoranas at zero energy exist. And what is interesting is that if we make some fluctuations in the spectrum, in the parameters inside, we add some disorder, blah, 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 nothing will happen. I mean, the fact that these states are at zero energy is really protected. And it is protected because the fermion, this fermion, is constructed of two building blocks which are positioned at the end of this chain. They are very non-local, like our soccer teams. So even if we make some perturbation, we score a goal here, or we make some do something illegal on the other soccer field, nothing much will happen.
How non-local are they in terms of lattice constant?
As much as you will. I mean, the longer this this wire, the more non-local they be. I mean, if you have a wire going from Earth to the Moon, they will be really non-local. There have been different experiments proposed to detect these guys, I know that you are not necessarily interest in the gory details of what we do in the condensed matter. Let me just flash at you that the fact that this is a major effort with lots of money pouring into Majoranas because of the relation to quantum computation, to realization of quantum computations. The experiments so far had to do with transport as function of, current as function of voltage, which shows this structure, which is consistent with predictions of this model. But the problem with this is that while the experimental findings are consistent with this model, one can invent quite a few other theoretical models that will give us a structure like that. So this is not a smoking gun evidence for the presence of a Majorana. So one looks for something a better. So before I proceed, let me make one comment, which is going to be very important to what I'm saying. This Kitaev model is a theoretical model. You can write it on a piece of paper. But the big boom was the realization that one actually can create a real system where such endpoint Majoranas exist. And in very brief, very briefly, what one needs to do is to take a semiconducting wire, include in this a recipe strong spin orbit interaction, magnetic field, and couple it to a conventional superconductor. And then the prediction is that there will be two endpoint Majoranas emerging here with the two of them giving rise to a Dirac fermion degree of freedom, which can be written in terms of those two endpoint Majoranas. Now, the important thing about it is that if we put the wire next to a superconductor, the superconductor may exchange pairs of electrons with the wire. So the total charge on the wire is not a good quantum number. It's not fixed. But what is fixed is the parity of the charge on the wire, because the fluctuation of the charge can only go by pairs. And since the superconductor has an even number of electrons, the parity of the entire world, the Majorana chain, Majorana wire, and this guy is also a conserved quantity. Now, as I told you, this defines the Majorana state. And there are two Majorana states, two possible states. Either the Majorana state is empty or is filled, empty or filled. But these two guys will correspond to different parities of the number of the particles in the world. And therefore, these two states cannot interfere. We cannot define a coherent superposition of such two states. It will be akin to preparing a superposition of a macroscopic live cat and macroscopic dead cat. So in order to talk about superpositions, we need to do something better. To do that, we notice another thing, which I already told you, but let me now say it in words. The Dirac fermion, D naught, when expressed in terms of the Majorana, has fractionalized. We have 2 degrees of freedom, 2 Majoranas, here and here. And it's the interplay between them that gives rise to a single Dirac fermion. So we have a fractionalization of an electron, or a Dirac fermion, to 2 Majoranas. So in some sense, Majorana is half an electron. So the simplest system where we can play with superpositions of Majorana states is shown here. So we have a cross. And we have now 4 endpoints, north, south, east, west. And now we need to choose pairs of Majoranas where which will form a fermion, a Dirac fermion. And it's up to us. I mean, I can choose the pairs to be west-east and north-south. Or in the present case, I chose north-east to be two majoranos that form one Dirac fermion and west-south to form another one. So I have two fermionic states, and the Hilbert space now in this basis consists of either zero Dirac fermion, zero electron here and zero here, or 1-1 or 0-1 or 1-0. And what you can see is that I can take, for example, this subspace of 0-0 and 1-1 that has the same parity. And here, of these two states, I can prepare a coherent superposition and try to manipulate it and play games. But now I'm coming to the, after you know everything you wanted about topological excitations, I come to the main question of this talk. And the main question is, how we can envision a measurement of the non-locality of those Majoranas? How can we envision measurement of entanglement in this system? So I'm going to give you a few details, but the message, and I'll repeat it at the end, the message is that this is very different from what we do with Bell inequalities with spin half. And actually, entanglement here is in some sense, which I'll define, stronger than what we have with spin. Or let me put it in different ways. If we have two spin halves, we can form a singlet and then do Bell inequality EPR and find entanglement. But we can also define the two spins in a product state, up, up. So sometimes when we separate the spins geographically, they can be entangled. Sometimes they can be not entangled. I'm going to show you that with the Majoranas, and that will be the main result I want to convey to you. Any state, any combination, I can define a system. Well, any state, any combination you take, I can always find a geographically separated basis where these Majoranas will be entangled, which is much stronger than the situation with a spin. So now I'm going to give you a few details, and then I'll repeat in slightly different words the message.
May I ask a question? Huh? These two Majoranas, like you just showed,
there are four.
Yeah, four. Why isn't it more energetically feasible for them to reconstruct themselves so that in this hole we will have only two?
Because what is important is that these Majoranas are localized. So there is no tail, ideally, I mean, for a very long while. There is no overlap between them. So they don't repel, they don't overlap. There is no level repulsion.
So barrier is very high.
It's a matter of gap and the length. I mean, for a given gap, take the wire to be as long as you wish, and then my statement will be exponentially accurate.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do we do usually with the Bell or CHSH equality? We have a state, for example, a disentangled state, spin up, spin up, plus spin down, where the first spin is associated with the left, let's say the earth. the right spin is associated with the right, let's say the moon. And we put here a detector that measures a non-commuting operators of the left spin, and here a detector that measures the operators on the right spin. And for example, if the operators, I denote them by zx and x plus z, which means sz and sx. I just wanted to simplify the notation. So the correct choice of these operators and these operators will give us this combination, which is marked by C. If C is larger than 2, it must be always smaller than 2 times square root of 2, we know that the state cannot be described by local hidden variables. This is a really quantum entangled state. So this is all known, and we heard it many times over this week. So now I'm coming to my runners. And my statement, I don't have time to show it, is that the minimal configuration I need is actually 3 wires or 6 endpoints, which is denoted here. So the endpoint, I call the endpoint my one as gamma 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And let me decide that these 3 guys are on the Earth, and these 3 guys are on the moon. They are geographically separated. Okay. So now I'm going to define some algebraic creatures made of these 3 Majoranas here and these 3 Majoranas here. And they are written here. On the left, when I'm able to use the Majoranas 1, 3, and 5, I have this product, which I'll call sigma z, this product, which I'll call sigma x, this product, which I'll call sigma y, and similarly on the right. And you are invited to check that the commutations satisfy the same commutation law as a spin half. So let me simplify a bit the picture. I'm interested only in the marijuana, so I'm going to omit the wires. I omitted the wires, and these arrows, this arrow, for example, marks the combination gamma 1, gamma 3, which is SZ. This arrow will denote gamma 5, gamma 1, which denote SY and SX. These are the components of the spin on the moon, and these are components of the spin on the Earth. So far, I didn't do much beyond what you do in the Bell, except that I identify the combinations that give me spin-like components. Nothing much. So now I want to go. I have 3 languages which I need to balance, or I need to map from one to another. On one hand, I have the language of the Majoranas. I mean, in this case, gamma 1, gamma 3, gamma 5. On the other hand, I want to take them pairwise to create Dirac fermions. So, on the other hand, and on the third hand, I want to generate products of them, which will be spin component-like. So I have the language of the Majoranas, I have the language of the fermions, electrons, and I have the language of the spin components, and there are equalities between them. So, for example, I can take 1 and 3, 1 and 3, and make an electron out of them, a degree of an electron out of that. And similarly, I can take 4 and 2 and make it a fermion, and I can take 5 and 6, which are non-local, and make a non-local fermion out of that. Now, I told you that I'm allowed to take superposition of Majorana states, provided they have the same parity. So let me choose just an example, an odd parity, and the most general state I can construct is written here with A, B, C, and D are being arbitrary coefficients. So this means that I have 6 Majoranas and therefore 3 fermions. This means that here I constructed three fermions. Here I constructed the fermion that relies on the Majoranas 1 and 3. Here I constructed the fermion that relies on the fermion 4 and 2. And this is the fermion 5 and 6. This is the most general state. And now my task is to show you that never mind which state you gave me, the most general state, which is written here, it must be entangled and entangled between degrees of freedom that are geographically separated. Let's see how it works. Provided that I identify the spin components z, y, x here and z, y, x on the right, I can do the Bell or CHSH inequality, and I realize that in general, this C will be larger than 2, except if we are on certain submanifold in this four-parameter space, in which case C will be smaller than 2. So it may be that I chose a state which, with this identification of the basis, will not be entangled. And this state, by the way, state it. Written in terms of the Majorana, I can write in terms of the spin components. So it will be up up plus B up down plus C down up plus D down down. So I can define a state in terms of a Fock space occupation of electrons or in terms of spins. This is a translation from one language to the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? We have about 5 minutes.
So if I realized that this manifold, that on this choice, I'm in this manifold, and apparently there is no entanglement, I'm going to take the same state and the same system and define 3 other Majoranas that will be the Majoranas on the Earth and 3 other Majoranas that will be the Majoranas on the Moon and do the same calculation. Now, it can happen that I'm going to fail there too. This is the condition. This is now the manifold of the parameters for which I will get no entanglement. If I failed here and here, I will choose 3 other Majoranas, these guys. This will be on the Earth and this will be on the Moon, and identify the spin components and so on, and we'll check whether I have entanglement. I break the CHSH inequality. And there, if I am on this manifold, it is not broken. So I failed again. And then I have a fourth one. And what is important is that I cannot be at the same time on this manifold, on this manifold, on this manifold, and on this manifold. These are incompatible. So it means that there is at least, I mean, any state of the system that I chose, there is going to be at least one choice of 3 Majoranas on the Earth, 3 Majoranas on the Moon, in which this CHSH inequality will be broken. Which means,
3 of them are compatible.
If I fine-tune, I can work hard and find a point in your sub manifold that can satisfy that, but not 4. So this means that any state under the right choice of what I define as local marijuanas here, local marijuanas there, will show me show entanglement. Now the point why I cannot do it for spins, for two spins. The point is that formally I could have done it for the spins as well. But if I go from this basis, which was the left spin and the right spin, to this basis, the new operators cannot be measured by two spatially separable detector in the spin system. I can do it in the marijuanas because in the marijuanas, my degree of freedom, my spin or my electron fractionalize. And for the spin half, this fractionalization does not exist. So again, for the spin, for the spin half, two particle with spin half, sometimes the state is entangled, sometimes is not. And I'm talking about long-range entanglement, non-local entanglement. For the marijuanas, for this minimal configuration, I can always find non-local configuration for given state. You give me the state, I'll tell you what the configuration is, that it's a non-locally entangled. This is the last picture I don't have time to talk about, but I can even design a measurement in terms of which I can electrostatically measure the equivalent of spin components. And as I told you, the perhaps the nicest thing about it is that I can now generalize it to weak measurements and conditional measurements or weak value like protocols. But that will require another talk and another conference. So let me go briefly with the outlook. I defined the edge states of topological phases of matter that naturally are have non-local features. I showed that any state made up of marijuanas, made up of these low energy, zero energy states, is entangled in some measurement configuration. I claim, I didn't have time to discuss it, that our required measurements can be designed, are accessible within present technology. And of course, there are questions how we generalize it for more complicated anions, parafermions, other animals in the zoo, and for non-pure states. And I would like to thank you very much.
Time for one or two questions.
So how would you respond to an objection to your description of these degrees of freedom as non-local in the following way? So if you were really to go measure, say, the states, there's a finite gap of the Majorana state. And if you measure it faster than the gap, you will excite other degrees of freedom. So basically, you can't do the measurements too fast. And that means that basically the two sides, you know, the Earth and the Moon, you have to do the measurement slow enough. In that time, the effective interaction along the chain will allow information to propagate.
Okay, so these are two absolutely independent parameters because the gap is a gap. And the gap does not change as I make the wire longer and longer or make the system longer and longer. The only thing that will change are some details about the zero energy states. I mean, there are some tails that may become smaller and smaller. Actually, my situation becomes better as I make the wire longer. So I can keep the same, I can decide on some adiabaticity that will not excite states through the gap, which will define some time scale. And now I'm taking wire, which is much longer than the time it takes light to propagate from one side to the other.
Yes?
So usually with the usual entangled states, if you measure them, you project into separable states. You're saying here there's entanglement in some sense topologically protected. But after you measure it, if you take it away, will it naturally reform back into an entangled state in some other kind of decomposition of the
okay, good. So, say, thanks for the question. So, this is the transparency I didn't have time to discuss, how I actually performed the measurement. So, usually in the Bell setup, you measure A and B or A and B prime. In order to do that, you have to start with many replica of the same system, because each measurement is going to destroy the system. But you assume that you have exact replica and you repeat it and then you collect the statistics. And the same in principle goes here. The only extra ingredient that I am suggesting is that if you perform the measurements weekly, you can actually perform consecutive Bell-like measurements, modified Bell-like measurements, on the same system without actually destroying it. But I didn't have time to get to that.
Let's thank our speaker again.